Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And welcome back to part two. We've got a political lineup here tonight. I'm not Kevin Tachi. I'm Christine James. But Kevin Tachi is here in studio with me, the host of Monday Night Talk. He's not only asking questions, he's actually doing the video here for Whitman Hanson Community Television. Is that the correct title,
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. And our own Charles Mathewson here. It wouldn't be a forum without Charlie helping me to ask questions. And Amy Leonard from the WATD newsroom over there. WATD's on Vanna White with the red, the green, and the yellow. We went over that beforehand. Green means go, red means stop, yellow means you have 10 seconds. If it gets to red, I always tell folks, you have a couple of seconds. And then, looks friendly, doesn't it? With a ladybug, the tulip. Little
it
girl,
does.
But when it rings, you're done. Okay, and we're tough about that. We keep talking, we'll shut your mic off. So it's radio. We've got to keep to a schedule here. We just had part one, and those were the Democrats that are running. For the seventh Plymouth District. Now we have the Republicans. We chose the opening order of the official WATD newsroom koozie just moments ago. We're going to begin with Greg, and then we are going to go to Allison. Your opening statements can be 2 minutes long. Same format as the one you were just listening to. Round of questions. Lightning round. And lightning means lightning. Lightning means yes or no, or one or two sentences tops. And if we have time, we'll have you ask each other a question, and then we'll go to closing statements. Everybody think that sounds good?
Yes.
Here in our beautiful climate-controlled studio here tonight. I hope that fan's not too much on you. So let's begin with our candidates here for the 7th Plymouth District. And if you're just tuning in and not sure if you live in that district, that is Whitman, Abington, and East Bridgewater. And let's begin now with an opening statement from Gregory Eaton.
Well, first, I'd like to thank my opponent for coming. I'd like to thank WATD for hosting. My name is Gregory Eaton. I'm running for state representative of Whitman, Abington, and East Bridgewater. The reason why I got into this race is because I believe that the people of this district deserve a representative that's going to work as hard for them as they do for their money. And I believe that I'm the only candidate that can say that I'm going to work as hard for them as they do for their money. One of the things that drove me to get into this race was the effect that Jeff Deal has had on the district. Jeff has represented our district to the best of his abilities. He has stood up for us. He's stood up for the taxpayers. And that is the thing that inspired me to get into the race. I've worked hand in hand with him on the sales tax initiative and on the repeal of the gas tax. And those two things he did outside of the legislative body. I believe that he works as hard as possible to get what needs to be done for the people of this district, and I want to continue that legacy. I'm a lifelong resident of Whitman. My parents have been there for over 50 years now. I grew up on those fields. I grew up playing baseball there, playing soccer there. I ran track on that same track that's up at Whitman-Hanson now. And I honestly believe that the people of the 7th Plymouth are my neighbors, and that I want to do the best that I can to represent them, and that's why I'm running. With that in mind, I'm going to yield some of my time back in the spirit of my campaign slogan, Say Less, Do More. So I will yield back some of my time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Gregory Eaton. Now let's go to the opening statement for Allison Sullivan.
Hi, thank you. I just want to thank WATD, Christine, Kevin, Charles. I wrote Charles, so it's Charlie, right?
Charlie, just
okay.
Never Chuck.
Okay, and Amy for allowing Greg and I to come on tonight to do this forum. Thank you, Greg, for joining me to discuss some key issues that are affecting our district, and of course, thank you to the listeners. My name is Allison Sullivan, and I'm running in the Republican primary for state representative in the 7th Plymouth District. I'm a lifelong resident of Abington. I went to Abington Public Schools, and I graduated from Cardinal Spellman High School. I went on to receive my bachelor's degree from Suffolk University. I am currently in my fourth and final year at New England School of Law. After graduating from Suffolk, I had the opportunity to work for the United States Immigration Court as a legal assistant for both the detained judge and the juvenile judge. I then took a position at the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Massachusetts and their Victim Witness Unit as a Fact Witness Coordinator. I currently serve the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the Executive Office for Administration and Finance as a legal assistant with their legal team. I am running for state rep because I believe in the community I call home. I believe in public service. The 7th Plymouth District deserves a state representative who is going to be a strong advocate on Beacon Hill to fight for our district's fair share of local and school aid and against Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state. I am also committed to working with others to solve this horrible opioid crisis. Sadly, too many young people have lost their lives and too many families have suffered. We can and must do better. My life experience will serve me well to be the new voice for the people of Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman. I ask the people of the 7th Plymouth District for their trust and their vote on September 4th and again on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement for Allison Sullivan. Now let's go to Kevin Chachi. Questions for our candidates here tonight.
I think the first question I want to ask, both of you are relatively newcomers when it comes to, neither one of you have been elected to office, correct?
Correct.
Neither of you have been appointed to a commission, right? Correct. Talked about being able to go up on Beacon Hill, not necessarily having served in such a role, but yet trying to bring home, as Christine James would like to say, bring home the bacon. How do you do that if you don't necessarily have that experience as to what the municipalities need? We'll start with Gregory.
Well, first, I think that age is just a number, and that experience...
Not age, experience. Experience.
Well, I think experience comes in all shapes and fashions. I believe that experience comes from work experience. It comes from being able to pull your sleeves up and get involved in issues. And I've shown an ability to get involved in issues. I've shown that I haven't had a problem stepping up and taking on roles in leadership capacities. So I don't think that I'm going to have an issue. And as far as bringing home the bacon, the biggest thing is to get up there and go to work with the other people in that house in order to make sure that your district's concerns are known by other people in that legislative body. Otherwise, you won't be able to bring home the bacon. So that would be how I'd bring home the bacon.
Same question.
Okay, so if I can understand the question correctly,
what
am I going to do because I don't have the...
I just want to get your understanding as somebody who hasn't been elected.
Right.
I mean, that's one of those little amenities that where, you know, somebody has served. Jeff Deal served on the Finance Committee mm-hmm. before he went on. He had an idea as far as what one of his communities needed. I want to know how you, somebody who has never been appointed to a board or a mm-hmm. committee or hasn't been elected, hasn't proved that you're electable, how are you going to be able to go up there, make friends, be able to work with other legislators to bring home what your district needs?
Well, I have the ability to work with other people. I have a great ability to listen. I've been knocking on doors in the district, listening to the voters, the people within the district, listening to their needs and their wants as far as our district goes in Abington, Whitman, East Bridgewater. And I'm a strong advocate. I understand that because, you know, maybe my lack of experience for an elected position might look as a shortfall, but through my education, my personal life, and also my professional life, I've kind of shown that I know how to work with other people. I know how to advocate for other people in my victim witness advocacy role. I worked with people that I may not necessarily agree with, but I'm there to protect and serve in the sense of fighting for the people in my district. So I'll do that by, you know, kind of finding mentors in the state house and finding out, you know, the way of the world up there. And I understand it's a whole nother world at the state house, but I'm willing to find that way.
Okay. Question for our candidates, Charles Mathewson.
You would be a freshman legislator. What committee assignments would you ideally have? Greg?
So I have a very unique technical background. I've worked as a video editor in the technical field for the last 10 years. So I would want to serve on the House Committee of Technologies and Intergovernment Affairs. And then I also have a big affection for veteran affairs. My father was the veterans agent in Whitman for about 7 years. So I would want to serve on the Committee of Veteran Affairs and Federal Affairs.
Please notice that he wrote that down, so he was anticipating the question. Allison, which committee assignment would you most like?
Several definitely come to mind. Obviously, with my legal background, the judiciary would be one that I would want to serve on. House Ways and Means, the Committee on Education, Committee on Mental Health, Substance Use and Recovery, and obviously Public Safety would be another big one for me.
Thank you.
A lot of both candidates here have mentioned in your literature you're interested in fiscal responsibility and lower taxes. Realistically, how will that happen? I've lived in this district for over 30 years. My taxes have never gone down. My medical and my insurance premiums have never gone down either, no matter what anybody says. So how realistic is that, Allison?
So, you know, our state definitely doesn't have a revenue problem. I know, contrary to what my Democrat opponents think, we have a spending problem. And if we look at where we're spending our money and spend it wisely, I think we'd be able to, you know, adequately fund our schools and fund our locals and give us the local aid we deserve. I mean, if you look at our Chapter 70 money, it hasn't changed almost in 10 years throughout the district. If it stayed the way it was supposed to be and the way it was intended, we should be getting, I think it's, my numbers are, Abington should be getting at least $1.2 million. Whitman should be getting, you know, at least $1.6 million. East Bridgewater, over $2 million per year. And we're not getting that money. So we're clearly having a spending problem, not a revenue problem. So definitely not more taxes or higher taxes. In fact, I think maybe work at lowering the taxes and spending the money wisely.
Okay, Greg, what do you think? My tax is going to go down?
So lowering taxes is a difficult one. But the first thing we have to do is we have to look at where we're spending the money. We're spending $1.8 billion on illegal immigration. We're spending 42% of our budget on mass health. Those are two major things that we need to look at and two major reforms that we need to undertake in order to make sure that we fund our government properly and make sure that our schools are funded properly, that our Chapter 70 money isn't going down like it has been for the last 10 years, and to make sure our roads and our infrastructure and our public safety is funded properly. Those are the two things that you got to look at. Those are the two biggest expenses that we have. We have to look at those two things and figure out how we can better address those two things.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a follow-up question. You probably heard this in the previous forum. Then, whether you call them illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants, do you think that they should be able to have access to a driver's license, housing vouchers, or reduced tuition at state colleges,
absolutely
universities?
Absolutely not.
Greg?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Allison?
Most definitely not.
Okay. I just want to ask you that follow-up question. Now let's go to Kevin Tachi. Question for the candidates.
Again, pulling that out of your playbook, Christine, if you're elected to office, what type of legislation would you author and champion? I'm not talking about supporting another representative or another group of representatives. You yourself championing it and being the one who moves it through committees and being able to get the other folks to get in and sign on it. If you could, what type of legislation would you like to author and champion, Greg?
Criminal justice reform is going to be the thing that I would work on when I first got up there. I would bring back mandatory minimums. I would look at repealing the most recent bail reform bill that we've seen several instances where people have gotten out on bail and then gone out and committed violent crimes while they were out on bail. So I think we have to take a look at reforming our bail system. And I would also be a big supporter of bringing back the death penalty in cases of cop killers.
So you're saying that you're not for the newly minted criminal reform bill that was just put into legislation that was signed into law?
That is correct. I am against the newly minted.
Same question, Allison.
So I'd have to agree with Greg on that one. Most definitely our criminal justice reform went a little bit way too far, in my opinion. And then, you know, with the recent tragedies that have happened here in Massachusetts. I mean, just the other day, Falmouth also potentially could have had another tragedy. And the death penalty is something I would definitely look into. Also, our education reform. Like I said, Chapter 70, we're not getting adequate funding for our children in our schools, and it's putting too much burden on the taxpayers here in Whitman, East Bridgewater, and Abington. So I would advocate and hopefully champion, as you say, some of those reforms. You know, like I said, the criminal justice mandatory minimums, taking away mandatory minimums, we're sending a wrong message to criminals here. The death penalty, it's a deterrence so that, you know, situations like Yarmouth and Weymouth hopefully never happen again in our state.
Okay. Charles Matthews, any question?
On the other side of that, constituent services probably the bigger part of the job than legislating. How would you approach that, Allison?
So I'd listen to the people. I would figure out what works best for them. I know that Jeff Deal and previous representatives have done time at the town halls, the senior centers. They've had office hours. I understand it's a hike to get into Boston. I do it every day. So I wouldn't expect my grandfather to go in there to speak to his legislative if he was trying to have meetings with them. So I'd listen to them and see what works best. And, trial and error, in the sense of if someone can't make it to my night meeting, I'll be available during the day and come to the district and sit down and have a cup of coffee or breakfast or lunch with a constituent, because that's who's elected me, and their voice matters, because my voice is their voice. So I would make it work for them.
Greg, how do you deal with constituent services?
So I'm a big fan of building on other people's systems, and I think that Jeff Deal has done a good job of doing constituent services, so I would probably just start, mimic what he's doing, and then adjust it as needed, whether or not, as work off the feedback of the constituents to see whether or not I could serve them better. But I think that Jeff is doing a good job servicing the constituents, so I would continue down that road.
Okay.
Jeff is also a big supporter of Donald Trump. Would you describe yourself as a Trump Republican, Greg?
I would describe myself as a Greg Eaton Republican.
They're all giving the same answer.
As far as Donald Trump goes, though, I think that we've seen many cases where his policies are putting our country on a better path as far as more money in your pocket, as far as the tax reforms go. So I am a proponent of Donald Trump's policies.
Okay. And you're probably an Allison Sullivan Republican.
Well, I believe Kevin asked
Let's
you
just get that out of the way. Are you a Donald Trump Republican?
So, like I said to Kevin when he asked me the question a couple weeks ago, I am an Allison Sullivan Republican. The idea of labeling myself to Donald Trump or Baker or whoever, you ask, I don't like labeling myself in that sense, because my focus is here on the district. Abington, Whitman, East Bridgewater. Baker is for the whole Commonwealth, and Trump's for the whole United States. So to align myself with one or the other, I just don't think that's fair to me, because what I'm going to do for the people here in the district is fight for more local aid, to fight for better spending of our tax dollars, to help to, work with other people in the district to tackle the opioid crisis, whether it be through E.B. Hope and Chief Scott Allen and the district attorney and Sheriff McDonald. I'm tripping over my words a little bit here. But that's the Republican that I'll be.
Have either one of you ever watched Celebrity Apprentice? No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm just asking.
Just
want to see the look
on
your face.
My face? No.
I did. It was pretty entertaining. All right, let's go back to Kevin Tachi. Question for candidates.
You both have parents who are well-known. Your dad, Allison, everybody knows as the U.S. District Attorney. He's former state representative.
The list could go on.
There's a long list.
Acting head of the ATF, too.
Yes. As you mentioned, your dad, VSO, well-known with the veterans. How do you get out from your parents' shadow? How do you make a name? Or is it something that folks are connecting you with and expecting the same results? How do you live up to that? How do you fill those shoes? Allison.
So my dad would agree that I've never been in his shadow. Even at my kickoff, he actually mentioned that. Ever since I could walk, talk, I've been my own person, and my family would attest to that. My parents have raised me with great morals and great community service. My sister is a veteran in our armed forces. I have aunts and uncles that are school teachers, an uncle that's a police officer, public service is within us. And like you said, my dad has a legacy, and it's a great legacy. I mean, I'm proud of my father. I'm proud of the work he's done for our community, for our state, for our country. And it's not a bad thing to kind of align myself with him, because people respect him. People admire him. And I do, as his daughter. So obviously, it wouldn't necessarily be stepping out of his shadow. But I am making a name for myself. But people are, they are connecting us, because I am knocking on doors. And they're saying the last Republican or the last candidate that's ever knocked on my door is Mike Sullivan.
I was going to ask, as far as making a name for yourself, you answered that. Same with you, Greg. Same question.
I mean, you can't look at Whitman and look at what the VFW, my dad's a huge proponent of the VFW.
Gold Star families, I know.
The Gold Star families. A lot of those things you can't look at and not think about my dad. And I am very proud of the work that my dad has done. But as far as me being my own person, I think that he would stand here and attest that I am my own person. I stand on my own ground. I stand for my own things. He is very proud of what I've been able to achieve as far as stepping out and coming out and putting my name into the race. And I don't think that I have to worry about being in his shadow at all. So,
Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates.
A related question. Neither one of you are septuagenarians. So I could ask, how is being young a disadvantage? But I'll ask, how is being young an advantage to you?
Are you asking me first?
Sure.
We bring a whole new perspective to everything. Don't get me wrong. I respect the work that my grandfather's generation has done, the generation of my parents. But I believe it's time for kind of like that new face, new voice. Can you repeat it just a little bit?
Well, how is being young an advantage to you? Because I know you won't answer the question about how is it a disadvantage.
Well, I'm able to walk and knock on as many doors as I can. Stay up late and read legislation. Be able to work and go to school full time. I'm able to meet as many people. I mean, my mom walks around with me sometimes, but she tells me to kind of go ahead, not wait up for her. So I'm a little bit on that end. It's an advantage. And I have energy. I have drive and I have passion. So I think that's an advantage, I would say.
Okay, how is being young an advantage to you, Greg?
So I would say that being young is an advantage because people look to young people and they are oftentimes disappointed in a generation that Allison and I are in. And I think that having a new face and fresh blood and two young Republicans step into the fray and put their name on the line, I think is a great thing for the district, and I think it's a great thing for our generation to see people that want to step up and lead.
I can walk. Can you, Christine?
Sometimes, and I don't think they ate dinner at 2 o'clock either.
Charlie, I think you hobble.
Yeah.
You
I go. Don't hobble.
You hobble.
And interestingly, haven't we interviewed... haven't we been in the same position here with Mike Sullivan in the studio?
I believe so.
A younger Mike Sullivan?
Many years
it is.
Ago.
A little bit more prettier Mike Sullivan.
Okay.
So I get the good looks from my mom.
Okay, I'll be the crotchety old person here now. I don't think I sound quite like that, maybe on a bad allergy day. But, for the crotchety old voters who go, these couple of whippersnappers, have you ever run a business? Have you ever had to make a payroll? I mean, do you understand that kind of pressure for many, many people in the district? Let's go to you, Greg.
So for the last 10 years, I've worked as an independent contractor, running my own video production business. I've never had to sign the front of a paycheck, but I do know full well what it's like to work as an independent contractor, to find clients, to keep clients happy, to keep them motivated, keep them coming back. So that part of it, I think I won't have an issue with.
Okay. What about you, Allison?
Can you just repeat it?
For all the, crotchety old people like me that want to say, these young whippersnappers, have you ever run a business? Have you ever had to make a payroll? I mean, do you understand those pressures of small business?
So I understand the pressures of small businesses. My uncle's a small business owner. I personally haven't run a small business or owned a small business, but I'm kind of like a Jill of all trades. Throughout high school, I was a waitress.
Jill right on, sister.
I was a waitress. I was even a gas attendant at one point. I worked in the medical field in the emergency room as an ER registration person. I worked in the hotel business. I mean, I know what it's like to work hard for your tax, for your dollars. So, I might not have the experience that someone else has, but it's not a fault because I have other experiences that I'm bringing to the table.
Okay.
And with my education as well, it all combines into one, so.
Thank you. Let's go to Kevin Tachino. Questions for candidates.
There was a bit of a controversy regarding the town of Whitman's July 4th festivities and campaigning practices. This was something that was also an issue in the town of Abington probably a week or two prior. Give me your thoughts in regards to either of these events that happened, if there's been any others, and in regards to how candidates should conduct themselves when they're out campaigning, whether it's at a public event, whether you're knocking on doors, what's the proper way you should conduct yourself? Or is it that there's maybe that incident or incidents are misunderstood by certain people? We'll start with Gregory.
I mean, I think this one's easy. A candidate should conduct themselves in a fashion that is representative of how they want to govern when they're in office. And, you know, the committees that run these events put in certain restrictions that they wanted us to follow. I don't know how well those restrictions were articulated to any of the candidates, but as far as the way that I've already put out a statement on this, and I said that any committee that asks us to do something on a local level, I'm going to respect the wishes of that committee, whether it's the Recreation Commission in Whitman or it's the Summer Concert Series in Abington.
Same question, Allison.
So I think this incident that we're speaking of was blown a little bit out of proportion.
There were two incidents. There was an incident that took place at the Abington concerts.
Okay.
And then there was also something that happened at the 4th of July, where there was a request that the candidates didn't campaign during a function or didn't openly campaign during the function.
So I guess it matters what your definition of campaigning is, because, you know, as a person that's running for an office, I want to meet as many people as I can in my district. So I'm going to do it in a very respectful manner. I mean, you know, like I go door knocking. If someone says they don't have time to speak, I said, nice meeting you and have a nice day. You know, with regards to Whitman, my campaign had a great time. I mean, we had people were coming up to us, thanking us for being there, asking for balloons, asking for literature, asking for bumper stickers. You know, we had never had an intent to bombard people. We never actually bombarded anybody. And there were some facts that were misspoken in regards to what my campaign did on that day. As far as Abington goes, you know, all I wanted to do was what my opponent and, you know, Greg and Alex Bazanson did.
Opponents.
What they did at the first summer concert. Just go in and shake hands and meet the voters. That was my intent. So
it's not unheard of. Jeff Deal during his concerts would go in and shake hands. So I've witnessed and seen and hand out lollipops and information. So it's not unheard of.
And
so
nobody was trying to, you know, stop the events. Nobody was trying to, you know, disrupt, you know, anybody. All I wanted to do was say hello and say, hey, I'm running. Consider voting for me, you know, and meet people. I think that's what we need to
do. I thought it was an interesting conversation, seeing that it was something that, at least that particular incident, took place on the 4th of July.
It's Independence Day. And if you think about it, freedom of speech. I mean, and here's the thing. It's all in a respectful, tasteful manner. And if you don't do it in a respectful, tasteful manner, then it's...
I'm dying to ring that bell.
The Anthony O'Brien Sr. Memorial Bell.
That's right. A little plug here for Tony O'Brien, who's run for numerous offices. I never use this on any candidate more than for Tony. It's for you. All right. Charles Mathewson.
You've each mentioned knocking on doors. What have you heard while you're knocking on doors, Jill?
Allison.
Oh, I thought you were
it's
Jill
okay.
of all
trades.
No.
All right.
I get it, though. I get what are you saying. Jill of all trades.
Oh, yeah,
Jill
exactly.
of all trades.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, knocking on doors, people are loving it. I have people that have said to me, the last person that knocked on their door was Mike Sullivan. So it's kind of like a great pleasure there. People are excited about my campaign, getting involved with my campaign. Obviously, they're talking about issues that are affecting the district as well. You know, the opioid crisis, our, you know, fair share of local aid, certain intersections in certain parts of towns that are dangerous. Public safety in our police forces and our firefighters, making sure that they're getting the resources they need to do their job. But overall, knocking on the doors, I mean, it's exciting. I love it. I know I'm crazy. Some candidates say that they don't like it. I actually do. I enjoy meeting the people because the people is what matters. Their opinion matters. Their voice matters. And if I'm elected, I'll be that voice that will portray what they want, what they want done.
Okay, hold that thought. Greg, what have you heard knocking on doors?
I mean, I couldn't agree more with my opponent. People do love when you come to their doors and ask them what their biggest issues are. As far as what they're talking about, it's taxes, it's local aid. How can you lower my tax bill? And I mean, that's to fight for every dime we can get out of local aid. It's the opioid crisis. It's the intersection in East Bridgewater that the selectmen and the state can't figure out whose responsibility it is to fix. Those are the big issues that you're hearing.
Okay, Allison. It's yes. Allison, right?
It is Allison.
Okay. How would you address those concerns that people have brought up when you're knocking on doors?
The opioid crisis? I mean, what I would do is I would work with Chief Scott Allen, District Attorney Cruz, Sheriff McDonald, and their efforts that they've made thus far in East Bridgewater in Plymouth County. I'd also encourage other people to get involved in trying to tackle the opioid crisis. There's too many young people and families being destroyed by this. Like I said, the school aid, Chapter 70, it hasn't moved in almost 10 years. So I would advocate for change in modernizing our formula. And then public safety.
I told you to.
Well, I know I had to remember. Luckily Governor Baker just signed in the $2 tax to car rentals to fund the $10 million. I think it's $10 million for police training. So that's, you know, I'd be in support of that as well.
Greg,
as far as the opioid crisis goes, Allison's right. We have to continue the work that the sheriff and the DA have done with Plymouth County outreach. I believe I'm. No, I actually saw Kevin Higgins put up a statement about what he would do. So. If you go to my website, you can see my action plan on the opioid crisis. We have to start with education. We have to educate our young people. We have to treat those that are addicted. We have to open up beds. That's a huge problem, is that there aren't enough beds to take care of the people that need to get treatment. And we need to educate our young about what is in these pills that they take when they get sports injuries or, you know, get their wisdom teeth pulled out. As far as Chapter 70 goes, that formula was written in 1993. You've heard a lot about it tonight. It needs to be redone. And every year people are fighting to get it done. I don't know what the answer is to get it done, but we need more voices that want to get it done for small rural communities like Whitman, Abington, and East Bridgewater.
How young would you go with drug education in schools?
I would probably start in the fifth grade, but I wouldn't be opposed to starting as early as the third grade.
Allison?
I'd probably agree with Greg. I mean, we look at the DARE program, and it's fifth and sixth graders. So, you know, you don't want to scare them too much, but you also want to educate them, because I think the kids are actually being affected because grandparents are raising grandkids.
Yes.
So we definitely need to kind of give them resources on who to reach out to.
Okay. What about the Second Amendment? That was a question I asked in the former forum. That's always been an issue in your district. Do you support the current laws? Do you think they should be looser, tighter? Where do you stand on that, Allison?
So I believe in our Constitution, so I definitely believe in our Second Amendment. I believe that a law-abiding citizen who receives their right to bear arms, they shouldn't have to give up their rights because of people that aren't law-abiding citizens. So I'm in support of our Second Amendment. I think our Attorney General kind of took it a little bit too far. I would have to say I'm support our Second Amendment.
Okay.
Sorry, I left my train of thought.
Same question to you, Greg Eaton.
I unequivocally support our Second Amendment. I believe that law-abiding citizens should be able to own their own guns. I believe that they should be allowed to use them and carry them, concealed weapons. I believe that the red flag bill is a overbearing bill. I believe that it will cause more problems than it'll solve, to tell you the truth. And I am 100% against the red flag bill.
It seems like you two are very much in agreement on pretty much most of the major issues. Is there any issue that you're not in agreement on, Allison, that you don't agree with Greg on?
I don't know, Greg. Is there anything we're in a disagreement about? I mean, I think we know what's hitting our district, and that's the opioid crisis. That's supporting our police and our fire and our first responders. It's getting more local aid to our towns to make sure that it's not the burden of the hardworking citizens in the district. I think we're both in agreement in the sanctuary state and sanctuary cities. and against that. I don't personally know what we'd be in disagreements about. I mean, I think probably the only thing that we would disagree about is going to public events and meeting people and quote-unquote politicking. So, okay.
What about you, Greg? You think there's anything else that you two disagree on?
I can't say that there's anything major that my opponent and I disagree on, to tell you the truth. I mean, we're basically in lockstep on things like sanctuary cities and the fact that our people work hard for their money and they deserve to keep as much of that in their pocket as possible.
Okay.
And I think that's the fundamental issues that are facing the 7th Plymouth.
Kevin Touch, a question for the candidates.
One of the areas that needs attention and has needed attention for years is the transportation infrastructure in and around the state, whether it's the MBTA, repairing and replacing roads and bridges, especially in your district. I'm sure there are many different roads and intersections that need attention, whether you're going to speak to the folks over the Old Colony Planning Council to get their take on and what they're doing with their transportation plan as they put forth to the state. What can be done? What can you do to help some of the projects in your district? What needs to be done to put a comprehensive plan together to be able to fix our roads and bridges and take care of the MBTA? Allison.
Okay, so what I would do is I would work closely with, you know, the selectmen and the local town businesses, government, and I would work very closely with the administration and try to get as many grants as we can to make sure that Abington, Whitman, East Bridgewater is getting the funds that they need to keep up with that.
Do you know of any projects that are in need of a legislative push up at the State House?
You know, not off the top of my head. I do know that, you know, the expansion of Route 18 is already underway, but not off the top of my head. I know that in East Bridgewater, the issues as far as the intersection with 106, and I believe it's Washington Street. I could be misspeaking a little bit. That's another public safety issue right there.
Okay. Same question, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Allison on this one, too. You know, we have to work closely with the local administrations to figure out what they need and how to get them grants.
What about projects, though? Are there pet projects? Are there projects in the district? Like she mentioned a couple of different ones. Is there any others that you know of or are you aware of that need maybe a little bit of an assistance or a push up at the State House?
I am not aware of any presently. I am aware of the Route 18 expansion.
Follow-up. In favor of open road tolls, open road tolling?
Open road tolling. I would say no, but I'd have to look into it. I'm confused a little bit.
Open road
Absolutely
tolling.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's go to our lightning round now, and that's the yes or...
Ask it.
The yes or no questions or the one or two sentences tops. The reporter will ask the question, and of course, I'll start with the traditional one. Plymouth County government, stay or time to go? Two sentences. Greg Eaton.
Stay. Okay. I don't see any issue with it.
Okay. What about you, Allison? What do you think?
Well, I disagree with Greg. Now that it's no longer... we found something. Now that I know that and I just want to make it clear that...
Just two sentences.
Yep, the district attorney and the sheriff's department is no longer under that. So I think the towns are doing the work.
Okay. Let's go to Charles.
What are your favorite news sources, Greg?
I watch a lot of Fox News, but I also try and mix it up and see what's going on CNN every once in a while. So... let's say those two.
Charles?
Allison?
Definitely not social media. I would have to say the local news. I watch it in the morning, getting ready for work. Channel 7, usually.
Okay. Kevin?
For or against reinstating the death penalty if a suspect is found guilty of taking the life of a police officer?
Let's start with Allison.
I'm for that.
For.
Okay. What about for or against the death penalty in other circumstances besides taking the life of a police officer? Greg?
It would depend on the circumstance.
Okay. Allison?
Most definitely would have to be reviewed.
Okay.
Do you prefer podcasts, radio, or TV as a consumer?
Allison?
I would say radio.
I consume all three, but TV.
Okay.
What podcasts?
Pardon my take. I listen to Monday Night Talk.
Oh, that's kissing on.
Can't hurt.
Any other question there?
No.
One more.
For or against charter schools, Allison?
I'm for.
Against.
You know, they may be married yet.
They would be agreeing this month.
Can I sneak one more in?
Yes, one more.
One word that best describes you?
Energetic.
Passionate.
Okay.
We're going to go to closing statements now. Remember, we're going to reverse the order. You had 2 minutes at the beginning. Now you get a minute at the end. We opened with Greg and then went to Allison. We're going to close with Allison and then go to Greg. Let's start now. Closing statements. Allison Sullivan, and remember, this is for the 7th Plymouth District, and that is Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater. Allison Sullivan.
Thank you. I want to once again thank you all for hosting this forum tonight and giving me the opportunity to discuss some very key issues that are facing our district. I want to be the new voice of the 7th Plymouth District, continuing the tradition of the great representation before me. I promise to be an attentive listener, a thoughtful thinker, and a doer. I will listen to the people, think about their issues, and work towards a solution to our challenges. And I promise to be a strong advocate for the people of the 7th Plymouth District. I ask the people from Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater for their vote on September 4th and again on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Allison Sullivan, her closing statement. Let's go to Gregory Eaton now.
Well, first I want to thank WATD for having us. I want to thank my opponent for coming on speaking about the issues. I think that you've seen that a lot of things that my opponent and I agree on, there's a few that we don't, but for the most part we're in agreement. I would ask that the people of 7th Plymouth vote for me on September 4th. The district is Whitman, Abington, East Bridgewater. I want to thank you guys again for coming on. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about the issues.
Thank you very much. That was Gregory Eaton, and you've been listening to the candidates, as we mentioned, for the 7th Plymouth District. This is for primary night. These are both the Republicans. We had the Democrats on earlier. All of this will be up on the WATD website. We will also have this with up on cable, and that's Whitman Hanson Community Cable. Thank you, Kevin Tachi. And, of course, you'll hear selected cuts. We're going to have the Democrats selected cuts tomorrow morning, and then on Wednesday morning we'll have bits and pieces from this forum. We don't want anybody to lose any of the flavor or the wonderfulness of either one of the races. It's great when all these people come out and run for office. I think it's terrific. As I said it before, it's really tough to run for office. But remember, September 4th, we'll be out there on primary night. Tune in here to WATD. We kick off our own primary night show. Make sure you get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the candidates. Kevin Tachi, this is your slot, so we appreciate it. Charles Mathewson, and of course our own Amy Leonard, for doing the wonderful job of timing there in the corner. You're listening to A Political Forum here on Monday Night Talk. Thanks so much.